All right.
There you are. All right.
All
So
right.
I had to fight with my Zoom settings as always.
Oh, I understand. Let me make sure this thing is recording. I had to fight with my Zoom setting as well, settings as well. Yeah, I feel a little bit kind of Stone Age, and I'm using Zoom again, and I haven't used, Zoom reminds me of, like, I don't know, Skype or something, or
Oh, yeah. Remember
it's
Skype?
yeah, it's just the issues that we had was like, I like StreamYard, and that tends to be what everybody's using, but I'm wary of their billing practices. They do some dirty tricks now and then, and they upgraded everybody that they thought might be a business account or something like that. If you had a domain, and it went from, like, I was just using the free account, because you can switch back and forth to free, premium, this, that, and I get this bill for like $300.
Yikes.
And I'm like, what? Oh, well, because, to serve you better, we upgraded you to a premium account. And I was like, no.
Yeah, well, without your consent.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Thanks.
right.
Like,
Without your
yeah.
consent, that's great.
Yeah. Like, well, we sent an email out. I'm like, I get 9,000 emails a day. Okay. I don't, Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much. So, Wayne McCroy, thanks so much for being on the show again. And today's topic is AI data centers. What is the real plan? And because, we have data centers here in Arizona, and since I've been in the tech industry for, over 30 years now, I certainly know people who work at them and such. So I get a little insight. I get insight that, like, some of the crazy claims are, oh, in those server racks, there's not servers. They have kill bots that are going to come and control us. And I'm like, there's no kill bots, right? But but at the same time, well, maybe in a way, the kill bots are much smaller. Maybe those racks are managing the little kill bots. So it's a vast topic. There's a lot of directions that we can go, a lot of that we can dive into this. But first of all, Wayne McCroy, people can get a hold of you, or I should say that they can find your work at alchemicalrevolution.com. And you have a Substack, of course, the Alchemical Beacon, and then, of course, you have a Patreon, and you can find all of that at Wayne's main site, of course, the Alchemical Revolution, and that'll be linked to in the show notes, of course, so it will not be hard to find. Definitely, Wayne's got an amazing online community. He just put out something free recently that I wish I'd gotten through before we listened, but one of the things that I definitely got a lot out of that, listening so far. I forget what it was called. Like, what did you just put out free? You offered something free on your Substack.
Yeah, I put out, it's called Light Bearers of Darkness, and it's a breakdown of the accounts of an insider from a sub-organization underneath the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, who really brought some things to the surface out for the public. And she wrote this book in 1930 using a nom de plume called Inquire Within. And this whole series of information she put out there points to the existence of a larger subgroup at the topmost levels of all the different secret societies in the world, in which they all interlock and interconnect. And of course, this would be what we would call today the Illuminati. So it does
Yeah.
exist. It's a real thing, even still today, even though you have people who will deny it. And the mainstream historical account of it all says that it was disbanded and every trace of it was disassembled and disappeared from the face of the earth back in the 1790s. But that's not true. And you will find records of this throughout the accounts of the secret schools moving forward from that time, even up into the current iteration of today. And although the faces have changed and some of the outer external names of this organization have changed, it all is part and parcel of the same thing still going on today. And these are the people that actually have infiltrated into all different layers of society and have amalgamated control of the world through social engineering practices and things of that nature. So, all of these things, although it seems to be totally disjointed from the topic at hand, it most certainly does relate. And that's what
Yes.
people need to really grasp a hold of.
Yeah, so it's very timely that you put that out, and I'll link to that in the show notes, of course, on the show page, because I didn't get through it all, but it's It's deep and it's good, and it's something that people are, along with the AI data centers now, people are always waking up. We're having more of the population kind of have this little spark and go, but it happens in many ways on many layers. I think most of us wish it was faster. Is it fast enough to make a difference? Who knows? But they are waking up and people are asking that question. And I think it comes into play in parallel with the data centers is, well, who runs this place? Who's actually in control? Because it's very obvious with the growing outcry with the data centers, with communities saying, no, absolutely not. If this is a, representative democracy, we absolutely do not want this. This is our land. We have the right to say no. And then they get told, well, if nothing, they get told no, but now they throw in, well, it's national security. So you actually, it doesn't even matter what you say anymore. If we don't make these, then China's gonna win. They're gonna be invading next week, or some crazy stuff that, 80-year-old guys watching Fox News totally believe.
Absolutely. And this is the whole thing people, I think, really need to consider. This is goes beyond the normal political spectrum of things.
Yes.
People on both sides of the aisle or across all different spectrums of the aisle are in agreement on this topic. Nobody you talk to wants data centers, but yet they're still putting them out there. They're still building them. And who's footing the bill for that? Well, of course, the taxpayers are ultimately. Because you have, of course, they will use this categorization, this broad excuse that they always use. Well, it's national security reasons. And if we don't do it, then China's going to get the upper hand, and we can't allow that to happen. So we need to proceed and build these data centers ASAP. And so they funnel the military industrial complex monies into that. And where does that money come from? Hi. The taxpayers, us, right? So they take taxpayer money to build these things. And of course, everybody knows that this is going to affect their pocketbooks in many different ways, not just, first of all, the upfront cost that comes out of your taxpayer dollars, but the cost to your electrical bill and your water bill and all of these different things that these data centers affect. And nobody wants them, yet it's full steam ahead, isn't it? And what happened to all the climate activists around this? Because they produce this thermal footprint and they have a deleterious effect on the environment. So the whole climate change agenda goes right out the window with it as well, doesn't it? And of course, they'll use the excuse, like you said, national security as one of the reasons why they need to do it. But they really don't. What purpose do these data centers serve?
Yes.
That
Yeah.
is the whole question that people need to focus on. What is the real reason they're building them? Is it so you could make a funny AI-generated cat video or something with movie stars' images in it and stuff like that? Is that really practical use for AI? Is that what we really want? Nobody's asking for this stuff. Nobody wants it. It's not being used for any ostensibly good purpose. So why do we need all of this data centers, all of these data centers everywhere? Well, it's all about massive data collection, and it's the surveillance state, and it's the infrastructure for the transhumanist singularity. That's what it's really all about at the end of the day. And most people don't even have the first clue what you're talking about when you're talking about, first of all, transhumanism, or second of all, the singularity. So there's a lot of different avenues of thought here we need to broach when we talk about this.
Yeah, and that's the idea. I was hoping to get, some of that across to people because, I'm still kind of figuring it out as well. And I know it's a topic that people are wondering about because one thing about, the AI data centers is in the end they're doing LLMs, large language models, and people are probably familiar with that. If not, Google it. And I have friends that are really into the server side of it. And so to actually at home on Windows or on Linux, on a Mac too, but easiest on Linux, you can set up a lot of this stuff is open source, and you can set up your own OS running it. You can set up Claude. Now you can set up something which is newer than that. You can do the whole, I mean, everything that's actually being done in these data centers can be done on a home computer. Now, is it slower? Yes, but it's really cool. I mean, you can actually have your own AI. You can log in your own, machine that does these things. Limited in comparison, but yet all the functionality is there. And the thing is, so when I see these data centers, I go, well, here's the thing. and I have to be, careful because I have some insight on this, but I can't say how and wherever and why. But the thing is that those data centers, you'll find that most of those racks, are just sitting there idle. You know what I mean? They're not doing anything. And so if anybody's familiar with the corporate IT world, if you've been there, and I've been there over 30 years, and I can say that there is never a server sitting idle ever, especially when a data center costs $1 billion to get off the ground, and you're going to fill it with racks and racks of incredibly expensive servers that are not doing anything because in the future, maybe what? This is so contrary to how anything has ever been done until right now.
Absolutely. And all that has to do with this coming transhumanist control grid, because that's what those extra servers that are just sitting there are for. It's all about building this infrastructure. And of course, one of the main constituent components they need is the actual next generation internet services, 6G, and of course, 10G. They're actively working on those things right now. 6G is rolling out in various locations with various iterations of it right now. And of course, they've been working on this stuff for a long time. And all of this has to do with the connectivity of biological systems to the internet. It's called the Internet of Bodies. The World Economic Forum put out a white paper a few years back called The Internet of Bodies is Here. And people could look this up. And this is most certainly what the whole push is for. And this all relates to the transhumanist notion of things. So, the Internet of Bodies is a subsystem of the Internet of Things. I'm sure many people have heard of the Internet of Things at this point. But when I first started talking about this stuff publicly back in 2017, very few people had any inkling as to what the Internet of Things is or anything of that sort, or thought it was all conspiracy theory and conjecture and all of that. But there's clearly developed white papers out there by tech industry insiders that talk about this, and the World Economic Forum informed us that the Internet of Bodies is indeed here. And I think they produced that paper back in 2019, if I remember correctly. I could be off on that. Not important as to the date, but it was prior to the rollout in the modern era of what we see going on today. Now we have guys like RFK out there pushing for wearables. Well, what's the next step of a wearable? Well, that would be an internalized device that attaches your biometric data to the cloud, the computing cloud. That's what these data centers are for. It's about tracking and surveillance and monitoring people 24/7 in very invasive ways. And we're seeing some of the soft rollout of this happening now. And it hasn't quite gone completely online yet. But that is what the true function and purpose of all of those extra servers just sitting there inactive right now is going to be for. It's about the compilation of massive amounts of data in real time. And that's why they need the network speeds and stuff to do that. So when we're talking like 6G network and these kind of things, 5G network was the first phase of the rollout of this, by the way, with the launch of the COVID scamdemic in 2020. So with all of that, they were bringing this stuff online, and it all has to do with connecting people to the greater computing cloud, as I'd said before. This is all the hallmark of what they want to do. This is why they're all about biometrics and everything else. That's why your phone will offer you could have
Yes.
the facial recognition service to unlock your phone, or you could use your thumbprint on your phone, or all of this stuff. That's why they've been actively putting this stuff out there and normalizing it for people so that people won't be all that shocked when they begin to see it, and how all of a sudden it's a convenience for you, isn't it? You don't even have to really do anything. All you have to do is smile at the camera, and things will just go automatically to your billing. It'll come right out of your checking account at some point. Like if you wanted to buy something or purchase something, you just need to smile for the camera or put your little thumbprint on there or whatever. This is where it's leading right now, but this is only short-term rollout. It's only a matter of time before it becomes more and more invasive. And of course, it's all about tracking your medical data too. And this is why they needed to transform the medical system that we have to incorporate it into this. That was the whole purpose of the COVID scamdemic. Not so much to battle some new illness in the world as they would have you believe. That illness was unleashed on the masses to bring in the changes to the medical system that were necessary for the rollout of this control grid. And we're seeing the medical system transform right now because it's being incorporated into this centralized utility. And that's the true purpose of these data centers. They want to have every little bit of data that they can on you. They already have probably millions of data points on each individual at this point, right now. But they want more of that. Things down to your biological information. They want to have that encapsulated into the system as well, so that they could track and monitor everything you do from cradle to grave 24/7. That's what it's about. It's this surveillance control grid, and that's only the first phases of the whole operation, leading us to the post-human era. And that's exactly what they're trying to build right now. That's what this is the infrastructure for. And thus, they need all these data centers, and they're going for it, whether people want it or not. And like I said, this is an issue that crosses the political spectrum. I can't find anybody that I've talked to that is pro data center, that wants these data centers. There's no reason for them. Like you said, you could have these AI tools right on your personal computer. You don't need to have these cloud-based tools like that, like they're saying is necessary, and it's all about having this cloud file system backup. You don't need all of that. Nobody wants it. Nobody's asking for it, and everybody is aware of just how detrimental to the environment these data centers are. But yet, they're being built all over the place right now. And it really stands to reason to begin to question what's the true purpose of these, because it's certainly not what they're telling you, right?
Absolutely. And one of the things that I notice is the as we've kind of mentioned that who is paying for these things. And of course, one thing I do note is when you look at the big indexes like the Dow, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, when you look at the big tech indexes, what is holding them up right now? And it is the it's well it, it's Apple, it's Meta, it's Microsoft, it's Palantir, it's Nvidia. These companies are really holding up the indexes. I mean, when you look at, traders, they're really to track those indexes, they're really tracking Nvidia, to see which way it's going that day. So just like the military industrial complex is, a huge, I call it a scam, whatever a person wants to call it. We made the F-16 back in the day, and its midlife upgrade after it was 25 years old, it was a long time ago. And we still use it, and we still fly it around and test weapon systems on it. But they're shooting down F-35s pretty easy, it appears. People think, oh, it's invisible. They can't shoot it down. I'm like, it's made of metal, and it flies by shooting super hot fire out its ass. What do you mean they can't shoot it down? It's not invisible. What, because it's painted like flat gray? So, nope, not invisible. And so we're in this time of discontinuity, and I think everybody is sort of feeling that, where how economically are these things existing, and it does seem like, just like the military industrial complex, sure, we can make we can move the budget to $1 trillion, to $1.5 trillion or whatever. That just means Patriot missiles, rather than costing $4 million each, they cost $6 million each. Nothing's going to happen, and then we spend more money. And so, and then of course, in every state, you've got something built, like the wheel bearings for the F-35 are built in Tennessee or something, So every state has their bit of buy-in, so we don't get rid of these things, And it just seems like with data centers, there's a big difference there. Where, well, you could say the F-35, in a way, benefits via the military-industrial complex each state, or a lot of states, whether it's overall good or not. Maybe I would say no, but still. But these data centers, they're not benefiting those states, because once you build it and that construction company leaves, then you've got, big ass data centers, like 40 people, 100 people. It's not employing people. I mean, it's employing janitors and such, but that's about it. And so, I it does seem like we are, these things are being paid for. Like you mentioned, like the military industrial complex are being paid for. I think also with the stocks keep going up because of speculation. So therefore they have more cash that they can get a hold of, that they can dump more into it. And this company's buying from this company's buying from that company. I mean, who knows how much, I just will say allegedly, I believe how much dark money is going into these things, because to build these data centers that are doing nothing yet, that's a massive investment. And I think a part of it also is just keeping up the economy. Like right now, everything is paradoxical and has many layers to it, and I think that right now, the I'd say the current administration, it doesn't matter what administration it is, but the current administration here in this country, they really want that like NASDAQ to hit 30,000. Like they really want this market to keep going up. It's very, very important right now. And I think just dumping tons of money into these data centers is part of how they're keeping these indexes going up. But I just kind of wonder, even though they're very, very determined, it just seems like we're getting ready for something to go wrong.
Oh, absolutely. The bubble's going to pop at some point.
Yeah.
That's the whole point here. All you have to do for proof of concept here is look at the AI image generation software. You remember that this is the big thing past year or two, where you have these different AI image generation softwares like Sora. Remember Sora? Sora AI that generates these videos? Well, they buckled. They went under because it wasn't sustainable. Their business model wasn't sustainable. So just looking at that as an example, I think they were hemorrhaging money. They were losing like $1 million a day or something like that
Oof.
on this whole thing because people were just using it to make nonsensical AI generated video content all the time. And the fee or whatever their subscription fee for it wasn't paying for the actual server usage and stuff for it. It's very expensive to host video and to actually generate AI driven video and stuff like that. So the energy costs were surpassing what they were bringing in. And it's just not a sustainable business model because by and large, the only people using it were using it for nonsense.
Yeah.
And they buckled, they went under. Because they had no choice. It wasn't sustainable any longer. They were losing money. Well, how many of these other companies that are using these data centers, building these data centers, and having these big server racks sitting there doing nothing? How much money are they losing daily just putting the power into that? And this is where it also crosses the bounds to the regular consumer, because as you know, any new cost incurred by a company is always passed on to the consumer. Well, this is
Oh, yeah.
happening in covert ways as well, and this is part of the problem with data centers, is it's raising your electric bill. Your electric bill, the electric company is charging you extra because of the usage that's on the same grid that you're on, just to keep the doors open at the power company. So they're passing that cost on to you. And the owners of the data centers aren't really footing the bill for that. Now, they foot the bill up front for construction and they foot the bill for a lot of the different things going into that. But when they're footing the bill, these private corporations, such as Microsoft, Amazon, whatever, whoever's building the data centers, you got to remember they're getting government funding to build these things. They're getting tax breaks to build these things, these data centers. This is how it works in the business perspective here. So they will be viable for maybe a couple of years, the beginning years, when the company's not losing money outright because they're taking in the tax dollars from the military industrial complex to cover their upfront costs. But at some point, they're going to start losing money because people aren't going to be using these AI tools that these things supposedly generate at a high enough level or at an operational enough level in order to accommodate the costs that the company incurs for hosting all of this data and running these data centers, all the energy consumption needs and all of that. So at some point it becomes insolvent. It gets to be where the costs are higher than the revenues coming in. And this is just basic business sense
Yeah.
when you look at this. It's not sustainable and they know it. It's not sustainable in the long term. So there's a different reason they're building these things. And a lot of it has to do with coming changes in our reality very soon, wherein the current economic framework is not going to exist in the same way it has in the past. So you're looking at the tanking of the dollar, really, here in America. This is all about changing the financial system as well. And they're bringing all of these systems together into this amalgamated control grid. I can't really think of a better term for
No,
this.
it's a good word for it, yeah.
It's a technocratic control grid. They have
Yes.
to bring all of it online. And we've been warned about this in the religious scriptures and the various other things like that throughout the course of time. It's all about building a one world system, an economic world order, a religious world order. All of these different things combined together in one, and this is how they're going to do it. This is your mark of the beast system. It's the beast system that they're building, essentially, if you want to look at the prophetic scriptures about it in the Bible, in the biblical framework. All the same thing being built here. And certainly, it's all about data collection. It's all about the surveillance network. It's all about bringing everything online with it. It's about control. It's not about profitability anymore. It's not about any of that stuff, because most people will tell you with all of these things, follow the money. Well, that only goes so far. There's other agendas in play here that step beyond and outside of the aspects of just follow the money. There's a reason they're collapsing the systems that are currently in place. They're going to build a new system, a new world order, and they need this digital control grid to do so. That's why they've been slowly, through the course of time, introducing new ideas into the pipeline with everything. Things like cryptocurrencies. What was that always about? Well, it's about the digital dollar. It's about digitizing everything. That's what they're really all about. They're trying to build this digital system that everybody must participate in order to survive. That's what they're trying to build, and that's what they're doing. So they're amalgamating their control in a centralized utility. And of course, they always tell you the opposite of the truth about this. They're telling you they're building these decentralized tools for doing everything. Well, it's only decentralized in the sense that they use different nodes within a network to be decentralized, but it's still all one giant network that you have to have access to in order to use it. And who controls your access point to that network? That's the important thing that they always leave out. They'll tell you it's decentralized. That was the whole push for cryptocurrencies. Well, this is a decentralized way of doing things. This takes the middleman out of the equation. Well, yeah, in a sense it does. But at the same point, when you're looking at this, how do you access those cryptocurrencies? Well, you have to have internet access. Who controls your internet access? That's the gatekeeper for controlling the whole system. It's not decentralized at all. If you can't access it, what good is it? Think about that. And this is the kind of trap that they've laid for people. They want people to think that somehow by evolving these new systems that they put out there, that somehow we're giving ourselves more freedom when the opposite is true. It's a trap. It's designed to suck you in and get you stuck in the system so that you can't exist or do anything outside of the system. It's always been this way. This has always been the plan for as far back as you could look. And now they have the technologies to achieve that. And that's what they're ultimately trying to build here. So that's what part and parcel of some of these data centers is all about. It's about this massive collection of data in order to bring about these things, to have all the information they possibly can on each individual and control them down to very individualized ways. The more data points you have on somebody, the easier they are to control. The more you know about them, you could predict their future buying habits. You could do all of this stuff. And this brings into question the true nature of economics, too. And this is something I talk about pretty frequently that still goes over most people's head. When you're talking about economics, what do economists do? Do they think about money and bottom lines and dollars and this stuff? They design finance options and work with bankers. Is that what economists do? You know what they really do? They're social engineers.
Oh,
That's what
yes.
an economist is, a social engineer. And in order to understand this, you must understand the alchemical system that is the money system. Money, measured in dollars, US dollars, this is one of the main baseline things they use. It's a measure of social energy. You could control social energy by controlling these dollars. Now, often they use, I think it was 1930 dollars as one of their baseline measurements for this. They measure everything in terms of the 1930 dollar. And in so doing, this gives them a precise unit of measurement wherein they could predict people's behaviors and control people's behaviors based upon dollars and cents that we see. It's a type of a way of quantifying somebody's social energy. If you can control their spending power, you control their social energy. This is at the core of all of this, and this is why these people that have elevated themselves into these positions of power in this world are all about maintaining that grip on power. That's why they control whole economies and stuff using these cybernetics principles to do that. That's what this is ultimately, and they control your social energy. That's why they're all about tanking the economy right now, trying to take as much of people's earnings and labor in to the collectivist system as they can and redistributing it. It's about controlling the flow of social energy. That's what it ultimately is. And that's why, at some point, when they make things bad enough and uncomfortable enough for people, what will they do? They'll offer you a rescue plan. Well, we'll give you universal basic income. But here's the whole thing that goes with that. With this universal basic income, you will only be able to spend it on items X, Y, and Z here. You'll only be able to spend it on absolute necessities. You could use it for rent or for utilities or for food, this kind of stuff. But you can't use it for anything else. It's programmable digital currency. That's how they will roll this out, and they will come to the rescue, and most people will accept it because they don't want to starve to death, right? They don't want to lose their homes. They don't want all of that going on. So they'll be given this universal basic income. And what happens, this comes with that caveat. Like I said, you could only use it for certain things, and it will have an expiration date on it, too. That's the other thing. So if you don't use it by, say, within 3 months or whatever from its issue date, you lose it. It disappears. That way, you can't accumulate savings or anything like that. They told you, the World Economic Forum told you, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. This is exactly what they have in mind. They're going to make things so bad that most people can't afford to comfortably live. And at that point, they'll roll out the rescue plan. They'll say, okay, inflation got out of control. Government corruption is so bad. We need to do something about this. We've had all these problems. And ultimately, the answer they'll give you is, well, we're going to issue universal basic income, and we're going to put AI in control of all of this because human beings can't be trusted. It's been shown over
Yes.
and over that politicians become corrupt. So how do we avoid that in the future? Well, we'll let the computer system run it. We'll let the AI run it. It's not biased in the way politicians are. It's not corruptible the way politicians are. Now, this is all lies and nonsense, actually, but this is how they will sell the bill of goods to people and come up with the excuse for why they want to put this AI control system in charge. So they'll roll out this AI control system. It will issue you your universal basic income, and you'll be able to use it for necessities, and it'll have an expiration date. And also attached to this will be a social credit score. That's the other portion of this they don't want people to understand. And there are already in China, portions of China, this system's already in place. You could find videos and stuff about this online. It's a very easy search on YouTube. You could find people showing you that in order to access the grocery store, you have to use your smartphone and it'll identify your face and let you in, and you could just make your purchases or whatever there, but only if your social credit score is high enough. If it's not high enough, you won't be given access. You'll be denied goods and services. So you'll listen. So if you say post something on Facebook that's critical of government, well, your account's been locked until such time as you remove that post. That's what you'll get, and then you won't be able to go anywhere. You won't be able to travel. Like, all of these systems are in place in portions of China right now, and it's being slowly ported over to the Western world. The infrastructure for it's already here. People aren't aware of it. They already have a social credit score on each and every one of us. It's just not active right now. It's not been acknowledged publicly at this point. So until it becomes active, they're just sitting on all this data. And thus you have all of these data servers sitting there doing nothing, ostensibly. But this is where they're collecting and storing data for future use, for these uses. Once the infrastructure is completely up and running and active, and the people have been acclimated to accepting it. That's when all of this will actually snap into place in that way. So it's all about tanking the economy right now in order to bring about these social changes they want. And they'll get there through the use of these data centers because they need all of that data storage capability in real time because they want to monitor stuff in real time. And that's what the whole Internet of Bodies and all of that is all about as well. So it's a lot to think about for sure.
It's interesting how during the recent conflict over the Strait of Hormuz and where when there were missiles flying for a bit, Iran targeted data centers. You know, you're like, oh, I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, they have a lot of reasons for doing that. They targeted, a good number of things that were strategic. Like they don't waste missiles, and they're very poignant. Like they have a plan. They know what they're doing, and that was one of their targets. Boom. So yeah, there you go. Well, when we look at like the data center being centralized to a lot of things. So 15-minute cities, you have that data center centralization, like anti-money laundering, which is of course piffle. That's just control monitoring, virtual reality. And then you mentioned the Internet of Bodies, and you look at Apple Watch, Fitbits. You look at your medical records. You look at if we're going to have a universal basic income. You look at that. You look at things like the wear like Meta glasses. You know, Meta Wayfarers. You look at well, Walmart, who's really been rolling it out, where they have the little price tags that adjust d depending on who's there. And you know, I've seen YouTubes where people were in the store with their like Bluetooth monitors and they were walking around actually, really kind of documenting and showing, look, it's really watching you lately. Here's all this, this is how all this works. And I don't know if the camera is really there or not, but they show a camera on the price tag. It looks like a dot. Maybe it's not a camera. That sounds kind of expensive, but those are supposedly monitoring your facial reaction to the prices. And so, shopping becomes this AI experience. And then, of course, you mentioned your social credit score. I mean, oh, well, you can't, especially when it's tied to your health, to your health records. Oh, well, you can't eat this. You know, here's things you can and cannot eat. And one of the things that I see, which is really gets me, is, well, it's already there, but not to the extent it's being rolled out. Like in 2026, the new cars that are being built, they really want to have, of course, the kill switch, which I know exists in older models, but still, they're really putting forth monitoring of the driver, where it's watching your eyes, it's watching your mood. You know, it basically will like the car will just stop, pull over if you're angry, and it's so. We have these cars that are monitoring you while you're driving, and allowing you to drive or not. And so now your car becomes a surveillance vehicle, and that's one thing that another form of surveillance that goes back to the AI, to the centralized data center is Waymo. You know, those things have LiDAR. They have all the cameras that are on those, and they're checking out every license plate. Those are mass surveillance machines rolling around. You know, they're, I would say actually, yeah, they're neat. You can hop in there. There's no driver. A lot of people like them. They feel safer, especially women. They like them because there's no driver to harass them, you know. But so I know people like the Waymo, the self-driving, cars that will get you around kind of like an Uber. But I do think one of their underlying purposes is definitely there. They are built to be mass surveillance machines rolling around, you know. So we have so much of it. And like you mentioned, like 15-minute cities. And so even our movement, you start to get the situation, well, you can leave your 15-minute zone so many times a year or a month, but after that, it hits your score. Or maybe we just don't let you at all. Maybe you have to, provide a reason why you want to leave your 15-minute zone. So, yeah, all this stuff is very real and rolling out. And here's one a question I have about so the economy, when we talk about crashing the economy, so we know that data centers are, I believe, supplemented. You know, they're being paid for by government. They're being paid for by, you know, utilities or something which you cannot print. You can't print water. You can't print electricity. So this is a real commodity, which belongs to the people, which is being, you know, paid for by the people for these data centers. And I know that they want to start making nuclear power plants for them and things like that. You know, private nuclear power plants. We'll see how that works out. But so as the dollar fails, which, you know, we can see this happening. Then, as the dollar fails and these data centers actually turn on, like where people are complaining about, you know, a lot of the data centers are cooled with huge swamp coolers on the roof that will go to AC if the environment's not right for them, but they cool with it with the swamps because that actually just sort of works, you know, helps to keep them cool. And the issue with that is you're evaporating crap tons of water every minute. To cool these things. And so it's pretty much, let's just stop that river, channel it over here, and let's evaporate it. You know, and so they're incredibly taxing on resources, which who's even going to pay for that as the dollar fails? And that's where I think you get into a new economic reality because when there is no NASDAQ, when there is no Dow, when there is no, you know, infrastructure as we think of it today, who's going to pay for these things? You know, and that plan, I don't know. I never put stupidity out of the picture, but I wonder what the plan is for that when there is no water for these things, when there is no electricity, when there's no money to be extorted from the people. Like, how are we going to run them? I don't know. Maybe there's a plan for that. Could be nuclear, you know?
If you would ask me, I would say it all has to do with the advent of free energy, which is something that they don't want the public to have any inkling of. And this is where you have all of these new UFO file drops and stuff coming in. It's a controlled narrative that they're releasing. These are controlled drops right now
Oh,
that
yeah.
because the big thing they're covering up is free energy or zero point energy, if you want to call it that. It's been called a lot of different things. It exists. It's been actually pretty well known in the black budget community for a long time now. From what I've read and what I've seen and what I've been able to research about it, seems like about 1958 they cracked the code on how to do it. So they could produce these free energy devices. They just don't want the people to have them because if you have access to unlimited free electricity, well, the scarcity model disappears. The economies of the world disappear. The oil industry tanks overnight. You're talking about catastrophic collapse. So that's what they're doing. They're trying to control the collapse of these economies and kind of come out the other side, somehow benefiting from the release or the use of these free energy principles that are most certainly going to be revealed here in the very near future. So this is all part and parcel of what's going on in the world today, and that's why they're trying to control the collapse here. It's a controlled collapse of these economies. That's what they're doing, because those select few power players at the topmost levels of the power structure in this world, they want to maintain their grip on power. They want to maintain their grip on all of this, and they can't do that if everybody has access to free energy, because, like I said, then the scarcity model disappears. This is what they've modeled all of our society and culture on for generations now, for hundreds of years, this scarcity model. And these ideas could be traced back to a guy named Malthus in the late 1790s who talked about population controls. This is ultimately what it's about. So essentially, what they want to do, they want to tank the economy right now. Reduce the population numbers significantly, and don't we see a lot of that going on?
Oh,
Reduce
yeah.
the displacement rate of people and bring the number down to a more manageable level, and then they will roll out some of these free energy technologies. They'll still be heavily controlled by a very small select group of people at high levels of corporation. So that's what they want to do. So they certainly have this stuff in mind, but the whole AI data center thing, they know it's not sustainable. That's the whole thing. It's all about the wasting of natural resources like this to lower the population. This is one of the population control measures that Malthus introduced. I think he called these positive checks on population.
Wow,
And I'm
okay.
not kidding. You could go look this stuff up,
Oh, yeah.
okay? He called positive checks on population control and stuff like that, because his whole theory was based on the notion that resources, natural resources, are finite, and they only can be accessed and used in a linear fashion, whereas population becomes exponential. It increases exponentially, and therefore it reduces the access to usable natural resources for the higher amounts of population. So therefore, what happens is, through the course of time, natural selection, of course, he'll invoke that, takes place, and populations begin to dwindle because there's not enough resources to accommodate the population. And you'll find versions of this throughout all of Western literature, especially those, if you look in the auspices of like Club of Rome and all of these places, these different non-government organizations, NGOs, the think tank groups that set policy. They all talk about the same thing. They talk about there's a finite amount of resources, so we need to conserve resources. And how do we do that? We have to keep checks on populations. And there was even a book produced, I think, in the early 1970s or late 1960s called The Population Bomb that had a massive effect on many of these NGOs. So they're talking about putting these curbs on population numbers in order to maintain control and not overtax the Earth's resources, and many of them will claim that the Earth is overpopulated. Isn't that interesting? They always talk about the world being overpopulated, yet they want you to trust them with your medical care.
Yeah,
Seems like a
exactly.
conflict of interest, doesn't it? But
It
at
does.
any rate,
Yeah, it
I
does.
digress from that point. But it always falls back to these same things, because the entire economy they've built is based on this scarcity model. They want you to believe that there are only finite resources for the number of people. So, therefore, this gives them justification for using these different checks to reduce population numbers. And they've been actively working at this for quite a long time now. And this is ultimately what's involved with this. At some point, things become so bad that through the use of economics as a tool, remember I said dollars are a measure of social energy. Through the controlling of people's social energy, things begin to collapse. And when things get bad enough, then people begin to die off. Populations reduce. People stop having children because they can't even feed themselves. These kind of things happen. It's a check on the population numbers. So then the scarcity model is maintained to a certain degree. That's why I said it's a controlled collapse. So they want to control this whole thing, this whole collapse of the system, until the numbers come down to an adequate level where they could introduce then some of the free energy technologies and become sort of the saviors of the whole negative thing going on. And there's a lot at stake with a lot of this. There's a lot at play. And even though these things might sound like bad science fiction to people, remember, it doesn't matter if you believe any of it or not. What you need to understand is there's people in positions of power that very much believe in this stuff, and the things they do to act on their beliefs in this stuff affect all of us. So it's important you know it, you understand it. What is their reasoning for this, and why do they do the things they do? And to a lesser degree, how do they do the things they do? Well, this is one of the ways that they've gamed this out through use of game theory applications and cybernetics methodologies to bring about the changes that they want in this world, and that's most certainly what they want. They want a depopulated world. They want a world where there's less people that are more easy to control. They want everybody segregated into the 15-minute cities and stay away from all the good natural resources. You see, if you look at the whole 15-minute city mentality, this is what you find. They want you in urban centers, and you won't have access to some of these pristine national parks or international parks where the natural resources are preserved, and only, those select few, those elites of this world have free access to that and can come and go to that whenever they please. You'll have to have permission if you want to go visit the national park or something on vacation. You can only stay so long. This is where the whole social credit score and everything comes in too. It's all interrelated and interconnected.
Yeah.
And that's what people can't see, because they don't see the long game. They don't see the forest for the trees, okay? They don't see the big picture. They're only looking at the small picture in front of them right now. And that small picture in front of them right now is data centers. And we can actually resist this, and we got to really give a lot of public backlash for data
Yeah.
centers, because nobody wants them, and yet They're still building them and putting them
Mm.
all over the place. So we need to get down to local government levels and have meetings and say, we absolutely don't want one of these in our town. And I see a lot of places doing that. And that's good.
Yes.
But you'll notice they still always seem to wind up there anyway because they just grease the pockets of the right person and it winds up getting there. But we need to resist that because we have to put a stop to this if we want to maintain our humanity, because this is all about the extinction of humanity and the building of the post-human era. This is what it's about if you want to look at the big picture. And that's what most people can't see past. They can't see past the economic model that we've been handed, the follow the money mentality that everybody's been handed as a means of understanding this stuff. It goes way deeper than that.
And follow the money, I find always to be very, very limited, and that's kind of a mental trap as well, because that's like, if you're facing a bunch of Spartans and they have their phalanx up, they have their shields up, and you just say, focus on the shields. No, but behind them, and there's an empire behind them. The money is incredibly superficial, and people tend to, or it tends to get missed that the people you're talking about when you're saying follow the money have more money than they could ever need, want, care about. Like, that's money's not where they do things. I would say look into the heart of evil. I think you're gonna understand a lot of what's going on better. So I oftentimes just say follow the evil. Actually, it leaves a trail. You can find it. Well, one thing about free energy is I think if as that comes into play, it would not surprise me if that becomes tied to AI and that becomes its number one priority, because, oh, if we don't have the great AI that's taking care of us, then we're all going to die. So we need that free energy to be dedicated to that first, and then maybe you can turn your light on in the evening. But data center first. And I wonder, as we talk about collapsing of economies, one of the things that I struggle with these days is how organized is like the all-seeing eye at the top of the pyramid? Because to me, I still believe in reality being paradoxical. You could say like multiple timelines happening at the same time and interfering with each other, syncopating with each other. So to me, like I still see there being like an East and a West. I still see there being a BRICS that have their own reasons to be BRICS. I still have where you see like what's happening in the Strait of Hormuz, and I see like okay, if you're using yuan, then you can just cruise right through, Russia and China, trading, I think now in their own currencies more and more, and that's spreading. And so I do see like a very easy, deliberate collapse on the West, like here in this country. Let's just make gas in ridiculously expensive. Let's just, break the sword of our military in a war where it's going to just, sure, our aircraft carriers will be sunk in the first few minutes. Like let's just devastate ourselves. And I do see that. I see. Okay. I see that being a plan, or at least what's going to happen via planning or via stupidity. But is this truly global, or do we have different power centers that you could say are either cooperating or just to me, it feels like they're at odds. Like I don't see, when I think of like the one world government or like the government behind the scenes, the deep state, it still seems to me to be somewhat regionalized. It's not truly, in control of all. Anyway, I just wonder about your feelings on that, because I'm happy just to know the truth. But so far, intuitively, I just don't feel that there is only one behind it all,
Always, always, always at the topmost levels of this power pyramid in this world, there's been infighting at the topmost levels. And from the things I've explored and I've researched through the years, and I've come to find, they do oftentimes swap back and forth. Okay, who gets to call the shots right now? Well, there's different factions that get to control things at certain times, and then we see the shift over in the power between these. And they have actually addressed this in the past. And we have examples of this, and we could look, and you don't have to look any further than a little organization, a non-governmental organization called the Club of Rome. And they came up with a Ten Kingdoms plan. Doesn't that sound familiar? If you look in the Bible, you always hear about these Ten Kingdoms, the ten toes of the statue, if you've followed the book of Revelation and all of these things for any length of time. It's the iron mixed with the clay, Well, these are the 10 kingdoms described in the biblical context. So you have this 10 kingdoms plan where they will have regionalized organizations that control different areas of the world. And because different policies need to be instituted in different places, they acknowledge this, but it's all the same council at the top that controls all of it. Ultimately, the governmental structure that they will eventually publicly present to the people, will be ruled by a council of 10 wise men with one sort of messianic figure as the front man for that organization. This is what's been talked about not only in the Bible, but also in these white papers by these public think tank groups like the Club of Rome. That's the perfect example thereof. So this has always been their plan, and they acknowledge there's differences in the cultures throughout the world. So what they've done is they've gone through the pains of mapping out these 10 different kingdoms or areas of control, and each one will have a wise man as the front of that group in order to start to make decisions on behest of those people. So it all incorporates into the same thing. So, yes, there will be a small division of powers by a very small group of people at the topmost levels of these things who will oversee all of this, but ultimately, managing all of that will fall on the AI in order to do that.
Yes.
So that's essentially what they're going to do. So it'll have different algorithms for each of these different cultures that are in place because the Western economy is much different than the Eastern economy and vice versa. So there will be little differences, but it'll all be centralized under the control of one organization at the top, this one world government. So even though there will be slight differences and minute differences, and it's human nature, there's always going to be this infighting for control at the topmost levels. They cooperate more than they don't cooperate. That's the thing that needs to be known. And even today, the world today, it's an illusion. The world does not operate in any way, shape, or form like you think it does. For instance, the United States and Russia, through the entirety of the Cold War, had some very interesting programs that they cooperated with each other with. Most people don't want to acknowledge that, but it is true. And all you have to do is look at some of the space programs to see that. They've had these different things in place. It's an illusion. They have to present you with an invisible boogeyman to justify military spending on both sides of the aisle. There doesn't necessarily need to be an active conflict going on in order for them to do that. Although active conflicts sometimes yield better results for them, it would seem, if you're looking at the perspective of these military contractors and stuff like that. But they don't need to have that. The Cold War was proof of that. Well, we have to beat the Soviets to it. It's the same thing, like you said, about the whole AI thing right now, how they invoke national security. Well, if we don't get ahead of it, the Chinese will get ahead of it, and then we'll have a real problem because they'll use it militarily against us. This is the excuse, right?
Yes.
It's always the same thing. Well, at the topmost levels, they're cooperating. They work together and they laugh at the public who think in these terms. Look, Trump just went to China with a bunch of corporate leaders around the world, Elon Musk inclusive, people from Palantir, all these places meeting in China with President Xi Jinping, my favorite cartoon sound effect, by the way. But at any rate, they met together. What do you think they're talking about? Do you really think that they don't cooperate in any way, shape, or form? Why do we have these trade agreements with China? Why do we import so many Chinese goods in America? Do you think that would happen if there's animosity between the leaders of these countries? Think about that. They cooperate. Yeah, sometimes they disagree and one of them tries to flex a power grab over another, but they cooperate. It's all an illusion. It's all to justify the spending of the dollars. You know, that economic system, that social energy. It's creating this social energy vacuum that sucks up all of your social energy. It's a type of vampirism, really. It's vampirizing the labor and the wealth of the masses to empower this breakaway civilization that has positioned themselves in power in this world. That's who's really calling the shots. It's not any official governments of the world. It's a governance structure. And there's a huge difference between government and governance. And that's the important part people need to understand. We are being governed by the governance organizations, not the official governments. Those are just the face that they give to officialdom. This is the scapegoat for people to hate on. You see, it's all about focusing your social energy in the place where it doesn't make a difference. Do you
Oh,
get
it's the
it?
truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it also when we see today something I see which has changed frequencies, I guess. Diplomats, like what are diplomats? Now we send tech industry leaders, and we send Kushner and Metcalfe or whatever his name is. These guys, they're making real estate deals. Like we sell, we send, real estate developers. They go, oh, well, now that you've, removed the people from this area, let's start developing it. So really it's the ruthlessness is extreme, in one of the, current, conflicts we see, one side, sends diplomats and one side sends, influencers and real estate people. So it's so blatant right now to see. And yeah, it's a tough one to grasp there being one behind the many, but if you even look at like World War II history, and I remember a quote from Truman, he said that really the idea is just for as many Germans and Russians to kill each other and then we'll shake hands with the winner. I'm like, and he said that. It's out there. It's a quote. So it does become more and more clear. I mean, I remember as a kid, I saw when I was sitting on the floor, and we had a very Reagan-centric household, and I was a little kid. I was pretty young, and I remember just having this vision. When Reagan's on the TV talking about the evil empire, I saw him with that little like the red phone there on his desk, and I saw Gorbachev, and Gorbachev, I believe that's who it was at the time. Yeah, he had his vodka, and Reagan had his beer, and they were just laughing about the plan of the day, And I just saw that as a little kid. I went, "This is what's really happening." So, to me, it's still something that I find hard to grasp, but it does seem that we have to put truth above all, or else we have nothing. And it does seem that it's one of those many things that, as you come to learn the truth of this, it's kind of disappointing because you'd rather it not be like that. But the truth will set you free, I guess, ultimately, after it pisses you off and disappoints you, it seems. And one thing about the AI running stuff, one of the trends that I see that has been happening is deferring to AI. So where humans can be held accountable, or at least tend to be held accountable, or at least people see them as accountable, I'm seeing AI being something that is hidden behind. So, if you give it to AI to do and AI messes it up, there's really no blame. And I often feel like plans that are made by humans are then said to be have been created by AI, or AI just basically created what the humans wanted them to. Like, if one of the opening events of a war is like leveling a girls' school, oh, well, the AI, it's infallible. Nothing wrong happened. It's unquestionable. AI has no blame. And it just seems like this extraordinarily scary thing to me where, people who are pretty damn evil in the first place have this immunity hiding behind AI.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing they love the most about it, these controllers of this world. It's called plausible deniability. They
Yeah.
love to build plausible deniability in everything they do. And this gives them the ultimate form of plausible deniability. It's, oh, well, the AI did it. So how do you hold AI accountable for a mistake? You can't. It's not the same as a human being. And we see they have no compunction with not holding human beings accountable for really heinous actions, the Epstein files.
Yeah.
They've demonstrated that in no uncertain terms, that they're not going to hold themselves accountable, and they will use every plausible deniability tactic available to get there to do that. And AI is the ultimate scapegoat for them. Oh, well, the AI messed up. Sorry. we'll try and do better. We'll address the algorithms or the parameters and see what we could do with that. That's the most that'll come of it. But nobody's going to be held accountable. Nobody's going to pay for the negative consequence thereof. And that girl school idea that you just put out there is a perfect example of that. Well, it was the targeting. It made a mistake. It was the computer. See, this is the kind of danger that falls into that, but they love that plausible deniability aspect because then they can't be held accountable. And who knows, maybe that wasn't a mistake. Maybe somebody did heinously tell that thing, let's target this just for the shock factor and the shock value factor of all of it for people and to show them that yeah, we're not fooling around or this kind of thing, whatever their reasoning is for doing something like that. They love to display the evil out there in the open for the world to see. And of course, if they could defer that to something else, a non-human tool, and get away with it, well, most certainly they're going to do that. It's all part of how they do things and how they get things done in this world. So I agree with that sentiment right there. They love to have the whole concept of AI running the show because then when things go south, it wasn't our fault.
Exactly. And you mentioned like a council of 10, I think. Where can we learn about that? Like where does that exist that we could find out more about it, like go on that path?
Well, there's a number of places. A good place to start is just go look up the Club of Rome, the
Club
Club
of
of Rome.
Rome.
That's a good official source you could find in the modern era that will detail some of this for you. You could look at the writings of Dr. John Coleman, who wrote the Committee of 300 book and all of that. You could look at what he put out there. He was an intelligence asset that began to talk about some of these things. And you could even go back further in history if you want and look at the writings of the different secret society groups that have always espoused the same thing through the course of time. It's a long-standing plan that's been around. So you could explore that through many different of the secret society groups, how they talk about perfect governance structures. And you could even trace some of this back to ancient Greece if you want. You could look at Plato's Republic and see some of these same ideas inherent there too. It's a plan older than humanity itself, really. You could find it through its traces through the course of history, but that's always been what they've intended. So we have all of this. You could look at the Trilateral Commission. That's another thing that talks about this. There's a lot of these different non-government organizations that exist that talk about these kind of things. The Bilderberg Group. I love to use the Bilderberg Group as a perfect example of a lot of this stuff because they denied they even existed until about, what was it, 2012 or 2013. They denied that this organization even existed, and now you could find their meeting times and dates and stuff online and their agendas online. They denied the existence of this organization. It existed since 1954 when they declared the Quiet War on the world. And most people are unaware that this even happened. In 1954, they had a high-level meeting. They met for the first time at the Bilderberg Hotel. This was the origins of the Bilderberg Group, which, like I said, they denied even existed until about 15 years ago. And then all of a sudden they acknowledge it, but they had this high-level meeting where they declared domestic warfare against the masses. This is clearly outlined in a document titled, excuse me, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. You can find all of this. This is good reading, and people will say that it was intended as, I don't know, some kind of a satire or something like that. It wasn't satire. Absolutely everything this guy outlined in the document is 100% true, and maybe he did take kind of a satirical attitude towards it. But the guy who supposedly wrote this document was an insider in many of these government organizations in the intelligence community. And he put this out there and he disseminated what the plan is and where the origins of it came from. And people still will argue of the legitimacy of that document. All you got to do is read it. You'll see 100% everything that it talked about has happened already. And it's fine. So certainly, it talks about World War III was quietly declared in 1954 by the international elite against the public. And it's a state of domestic warfare. It's called the Quiet War because people don't recognize it as warfare. And this is actually addressed in the Bible too, where Jesus tells us in the book of Matthew, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. Well, this would qualify as a different type of warfare, a rumor war. And this is most certainly what it is. It's domestic warfare that's been waged against the public since 1954, and we are in the heart of all of it. It's a type of social engineering warfare. It's domestic warfare. It's actual this elitist class versus the rest of the public. That's how they've broken it down. It's this breakaway civilization, as I spoke about earlier, that has targeted the rest of the masses. And that's where we're at now. So it's all about this going on, and it's all about building this control system, this technocratic control system that they've been putting in place now for a number of years, and bringing about these changes in this world. And the depopulation thing goes right along with it. The transhumanist notion, it's all part and parcel of the same thing. We didn't even really touch on a lot of the transhumanist element of this yet. Maybe we could go there next.
Yeah, we could definitely do that. And yeah, silent weapons for quiet wars. Yeah, and also I guess Bill Cooper's canon, basically, his body of work is probably a helpful place too, I'd imagine. And that's something I'm just recently getting into. And one thing about, like, as we move on to, let's move on to what you're mentioning. But I do think that recently, just something that I'm getting a feeling about is, people are learning at this moment that, like, you don't matter. I think a lot of people have this delusion that, like, they matter and they have rights and they think, well, I have this ego and I'll just tell them. I don't know. You gotta ask people who grew up in third world nightmares about that. You don't, no, you don't actually. You think you do, but you don't, And so the people standing up saying, we don't want these data centers, they're learning this, I think, something which is very crestfalling for Americans. I think it really is shocking some people. Wait a second, we all said no and it still happened. I think this is really shocking people. And I think that it's almost like this, I've always liked the story of the golem, a rabbi creating a golem to go and do something. But those golems get out of control sometimes and they can wreak havoc. And I feel like with people being ignored so blatantly. And I think also even Thomas Massie, whether one thinks he's for real or he's not, still, he posed a slight speed bump, to the situation. And man, they did everything they could. And I think people are realizing, wait a second. I mean, if they'll spend what, $33 million, 33, that number, to get rid of this guy, to even just primary him. If we can't buy him, control him, we'll just take the seat. And so you start thinking, well, what about somebody who's not so focal? And what about just the person who posts, I think this is BS, or just doesn't believe it, or gives the little Walmart camera the wrong look at the when they see the price, I mean, that's my best take on it, is I just feel like, I think maybe a golem has gone wrong and gotten out of control in the people. I don't know. I have this feeling.
Well, what you're describing is an occult concept called an egregore.
I'm sorry,
And
egregore as well. Yeah.
most certainly, I do see that going on. It's gotten out of hand.
Yeah.
Essentially, all of this government corruption and everything that goes with it has gotten way out of hand, and people are beginning to understand your vote never mattered. It doesn't count. All it is a way to measure social energy. It's a poll. Why do you think they call them polls? The polls. It doesn't matter. It doesn't affect the outcome of anything. It's just they want to know what's your opinion on it so that they could steer public opinion and gauge how well they've been able to steer public opinion. That's all they use it for. It's an illusion. Like I said, nothing in this world operates the way we think it does. And that's part and parcel of this. We're not going to vote our way out of this. And I think people here in America now are finally beginning to understand. You know what? My vote doesn't matter. Look at all the disenfranchised people who are now screaming and jumping up and down because, well, first of all, Trump won another election. So you have everybody on the left side of the political spectrum jumping up and down and pointing out, all the bad things about him and his administration and all the abuses of power. This guy is an ultimate magician, really. And Marina Abramovich said this publicly. Trump is an
Wow.
ultimate magician. Look at what he does, how he gets out there in the limelight and he gets everybody's attention on him. You see, he's drawing their social energy. This is an important
Oh.
concept within the occult. He's taking their energy from them. He's directing their energy towards him. He's a master at doing this. He's got people talking about him. He's in the headlines all the time, every day. He's at the center of every controversy. And this is all part of the distraction theater that goes on. He's doing his job essentially really, really well. That's why they put him back in this position again. I'm talking about the people who really control things. He's the
Yeah.
scapegoat. This is the archetype of the scapegoat. He's to take all of your negative energy, your hate. Remember back in the book 1984, George Orwell wrote about this. They practiced a term called the 2-minute hate every day, where they would project an image of Emmanuel Goldstein on the screen and everybody would gather in the theaters and throw things at the screen and scream and yell for 2 minutes at Emmanuel Goldstein, the center of their hatred, the scapegoat. It's an occult principle. It's siphoning their energy, vampirizing their energy to this figure. Do you understand what's going on a metaphysical level with that? That's what Trump ultimately does so well. And that's why he's in this position of the presidency. So you could call him incompetent, you could call him stupid, you could call him greedy, whatever you want to call him, he loves it. They love it, and they're laughing at you all the way to the bank. You see, the media will present him as the ultimate enemy of the people. They give him every negative type of influence or connotation in the media that they can. They attach all these negative ideas to him. It's all done on purpose. It's all about this shifting of social energy. And that's essentially what's being done. So that's why this guy was put in that position. He's done this really well. And he continues to do this really well so that people could stay focused on him rather than the things that are quietly being unrolled in the background by the real non-government organizations of this world that set policy and roll out all of these different agendas on the masses. So now he'll be up there talking about these UFO releases and stuff like that. And I'm expecting some big things probably come early July. He's probably
Okay.
going to make some major announcements. This is all stuff that has been brewing for a while now and is out there in the social energy field. So we're going to see a lot of that focused around that now too. And it's ultimately distraction from some of the things happening in the background, the building of these AI data centers and stuff like that. But at this point, we can't ignore it because they're popping up everywhere. They're trying to build them everywhere. Like local townships that I live in, I live out in a pretty much rural area, and they've been talking about trying to build data centers out here. And most of the townships and stuff are getting together preemptively and saying we don't want these. And they're trying to organize in ways to prevent them from building in the areas. So it's everyone you talk to. Nobody wants them, yet they're building them and they're being rolled out on the masses. In any way, whether people want them or not. And they're using every excuse in the book to get it done. Well, this makes
Yeah.
people question things, doesn't it? And that's good that we're questioning things. But the thing is, at what point do we realize you're not going to vote your way out of it? That's the problem. You still have much of the electorate in this country that thinks that they'll just vote their way out of it. And we were advised that it's all an illusion, it's all a show. Dr. Carol Quigley told people that the system is set up in a way whereas at any given election, the people could vote the rascals out of office and there will be no real change in policy whatsoever because that's how they designed it, because both sides are working for the same team and it's not for the people.
Yeah. And I think there is an energy of people beginning to, I mean, there's people who always knew that, but the percentage that knows it is becoming greater, and there's different layers to it. But with the data centers, and to get across the idea of what these things are, about what they're actually going to be used for, we've touched on, we've talked about, touched on a lot of it, but and there's other questions I do have, but what do you think we may have? Actually, yeah, what topic would you bring up about the data centers? Because I was going to mention the physical effects around the data centers and such like that, where pets suffering, plants suffering, people suffering, weird emotions, people being very, very fearful. And it seems like within 6 to 10 miles of these data centers, there's one great YouTube was data centers behaving like acoustic weapons, and the sound from them outside of our audible hearing range is extremely loud. And there's a lot of people who are near these things, more and more, who are like saying these things are making me sick. You know, these things aren't good. And so, well, of course, what do you think is relevant that we should bring up? But also, the physical effects of these things to the surrounding area.
Right. Well,
Yeah.
there's so many different angles of this to
Yeah.
even begin is the problem. It's not just
It's true.
the data center itself, it's the infrastructure surrounding the data center that's problematic.
Oh, yeah.
Look at
Okay.
the frequencies that we are inundated with. We live in a microwave soup at this point. 5G. Anytime a new frequency band comes online, you'll notice people tend to get sick.
Yeah.
That happens because as the human being, the body is inundated in these new frequency bands it's not used to and don't occur in the natural world. Well, it has some deleterious effects on people. So it begins to affect their health, whether it be physical health and or mental health, both those things. And so just being inundated by these frequencies when they rolled out 5G, a lot of that corresponded with many of the things that were associated with COVID. If you go and look at the symptoms of COVID and then go look at microwave poisoning or frequency poisoning, you'll find many of the symptoms are the same. Interestingly enough, and you'd be called a conspiracy theorist or told to go put your tinfoil hat on if you brought this up during the heart of all the COVID stuff, but it's there. I've read actual research papers, documents, military things like Project Pandora that talk about the effects of frequency on the human body and how they could actually attune these frequencies in certain ways to produce certain specific effects within people, to simulate illnesses and things like that. There's a whole field of science surrounding this called digital biology that most people don't even
Yeah.
know. And this is all part and parcel of that as well. So they could just slightly tweak the frequency that some of these 5G towers or something are emitting, and it could have deleterious effects on human beings. It could affect their mood, could affect their physiology. It could certainly be used in a weaponized fashion, and 5G is based upon a military system called the active denial system that uses
Oh.
millimeter waves. And you might be familiar with that because you served in the military, if I'm not mistaken, right? The
Yeah,
active
we didn't have those, but I know what they are. You know, I do know what they are. Yeah.
That's what 5G technology is based on. All they have to do is tune it to 90 gigahertz, is it? If I'm not mistaken, it's 90. It's something like that. 96, or is it 60? I don't remember now. It's been a while since I looked at it. But they could tune the frequency to a specific range and point it at somebody and cause all kinds of physical discomfort and essentially cook somebody from the inside out if they wanted to. It's really, really nasty stuff. But they could attune this in different ways to bring about these effects on people. Now consider that we have all of these 5G antennas and towers and transmitters everywhere. All they would have to do in order to keep a population within the 15-minute city, if they wanted to, is tune the perimeter of that city to that frequency bandwidth and make it uncomfortable for people to leave. You go outside, you feel like you're burning, and you have to run back in. You have massive headaches. They could transmit sound, voice to skull, with these same type of things. This is a known commodity too. These patents came out in the 1970s for voice to skull, where they could actually transmit a voice directly into your head, bypassing your ears, and you could hear it and nobody else could. This is all out there in the mainstream now, but if you talked about it a couple of years ago, you were called a conspiracy theorist. You were told to put your tinfoil hat back on. It's all legitimate and it's real stuff that has existed for the past 50 plus years. 50 plus years. Imagine how they
Wow.
use this stuff covertly against people without them realizing. Think about that. And all of this stuff is now admitted, but still we're where we're at now because of some of this stuff, because people deny it, because it doesn't fit in their neat little box that is their worldview. And that's the whole thing. Once you start to really explore these topics heavily, you find that it doesn't fit in the neat little pattern of what your presented worldview that you've been indoctrinated with has finds comfortable. Doesn't fall within those parameters.
Yeah, and so it makes me wonder about, data centers to some extent being like a cover story. Like here's a scapegoat for the way that you're feeling, because so when you look at cell phones, the 5G, 6G, etc., there's been this move towards, complete coverage. I think if we think about, it wasn't that many years ago before some areas you didn't have cell phone coverage, but now you'd be hard pressed. You got to get pretty rural, to not have cell phone coverage. So it's pretty much the whole continent. Almost anywhere you go, you're covered. But I think that's been something that has been a project that has been worked on, because before you can implement these things, and to the extent that you're, speaking of, you really got to have the coverage.
Absolutely.
And right now there's no escaping it. And it just makes me think about, I'm not saying I share this sentiment completely, but you'll hear a lot of people saying, I mean, you'll see lots of YouTubes about it, people talking about this. And I'm sure anyone who has, a social circle of any kind, hears this spoken about. But like ever since, COVID, everything has sucked. Life's not as fun. People aren't, people are different, and it just makes me wonder, is it because that coverage is now complete? Because people speak about just feeling a signal, something strange, something not right, and I guess maybe coverage is now complete and they're ready to go to the next step in the plan.
I don't think coverage is quite as complete as they would like it yet, because you still have areas where you will lose your cell phone coverage and stuff like that. But that is the real reason why those things like Starlink exist. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to bridge the gap of these various areas where you lose your cell service, you lose the signal. And a lot of this has to do with, well, actually, the natural environment, because if you look at those places where a lot of coverage is lost, there's heavy tree cover and stuff like
Yeah.
that. So this is also one of the reasons for the whole deforestation of the planet and stuff like that that they've been trying to accomplish, and all about this scarcity model once again. So they are trying to really cover as much of that as possible, because they need 100% coverage all the time and 100% connectivity in order to bring about this transhumanist future that they want. And as of right now, it's not completely entirely there yet. I mean, for an example, I could go about 3.5 miles from here, and I have an area where there's no internet, there's no cell phone coverage, nothing, out in the middle of the deep woods. So, like, there's still areas where there's gaps in this, and they're trying to address that as best as possible. But a lot of this has to do also with connecting the human being directly to the network as well. And that's one of the reasons they've normalized these cell phones,
Yes.
because they want you connected at all times so they could track and monitor you. This is one of the most devious devices ever invented, although it's very practical too. This technology, it was actually developed way back in the 1960s. Most people aren't aware of that. They had this stuff mastered in the 1960s and 70s. And
Wow,
the
okay.
only problem is they didn't have enough rollout of it publicly in order to have this grid set up in the way that it's set up. See, this is an example of a military use technology. This is how this all functions. This is how the special access programs and black budget military industrial complex community works. Any new technology that they get wind of, they ultimately test to the utmost for all militarized uses before that they send it over to the public for public consumption uses. It's called dual use technology. And this is a perfect example. The cell phone's a perfect example of that. They figured out all this stuff, like I said, way back in the 1960s. But the only problem was they didn't have enough coverage, area coverage, to use it in a practical way like they do today. So they perfected all the ways in which this device could be used as a weapon system. And then after they did that, then they gave this technology over to some of the public corporations for consumer use. And thus we developed the whole cell phone industry. And now the infrastructure's in place, and all of these things have a militarized backdoor built into them. That's the nature of dual-use technology. So it is a weapons platform. It's a surveillance system. It has all of these militaristic uses built into it. But now it also has practical consumer applications. And we pay for it. This the brilliant thing they did. They take our money and they give us this tracking device. And
Yeah.
it's exactly what it is. And we line up and we love to have the tracking device. And it collects millions of points of data on each individual, knows where you are at any given time, can give them images of where you're at, can record the audio of where you're at any given time without your permission. Most people don't know that. This thing's always tracking and monitoring you. It's always
Oh,
listening.
yeah.
All you have to do is look at the example of an Alexa device to understand this. They tell you, it tells you, no, it doesn't listen to your conversations or record it. Well, how does it hear its name if it's not listening? Think about it. Now, this is how they've got people so indoctrinated and programmed in their ways of thinking that somehow they won't accept that this thing's got to be listening to you. And they think it's a coincidence that it'll bring up advertisements and stuff on it on things you were just talking about. They think that's coincidental too. No, it's not listening at all. And a lot of these technologies have gotten a lot more invasive than people think already at this point in the public domain here. I talked about this actually at a presentation I gave, a live presentation I gave in 2019 in New York City before the rollout of the COVID thing, where I talked about this, where Facebook had actually just finished or completed a project where they were actually talking about, in a very serious way, about being able to read people's minds and tailor advertisements and stuff to them based on that, based on a science called optogenetics. And this is a real thing. And this is going back to 2017 that this first started, this program first started with Facebook. So you have all of that going on too. So now you have people will often, as a type of example, they'll say, well, I was thinking about something. And then just a couple hours later, while I'm scrolling through Facebook or on my computer, an ad for it came up. And it's the most intriguing thing because I hadn't spoken about it or done any Google searches or anything about this thing. I just thought about it. And then there it was.
Yes.
Do you think that's a coincidence? Most people do. They think it's a coincidence. It's not. That's the nature of how invasive a lot of this stuff has gotten. It's based on optogenetics. The blue light from the screen can actually hit your retinas in a way where it's able to pick up neurological signals from within your brain, and it can ostensibly make a crude mapping of what it is you're thinking about. This is what the technology is. And
Wow.
people could think I'm nuts for talking about this. I've been telling people about this publicly since 2017. And they just, you're a conspiracy theorist. I mean, it's all speculative, this and that. No, I'm telling you, it's not speculative. They have white papers talking about this. They have actual whole realms of science that are based and developed around this. It's about reading your mind. It's about all of this. They have the different ways and methods of doing that at this point with the infrastructure they put in place. You see, in years past, the infrastructure for it on a massive scale wasn't quite there. That's what I'm talking about when I'm saying you could trace back cell phones to the 1960s. They understood how it works in practicality, but they didn't have enough infrastructure in place to utilize it to its utmost effect. Now the infrastructure is there. Now they have it. So now you have this device you carry around in your pocket. And by the way, they've d developed it to be purposely addictive to people that so that they don't want to do without it. They've totally changed the culture. This is the way in which they do things. Sometimes it's a slow process, but they've changed the culture. If you're as old as me, you remember a time when, okay, I have to leave the house. What do I have? Keys and wallet. Well, now what is the whole thing? It's keys, wallet, phone. They've changed the culture that much to that regard. that now you don't leave the house without it. It's the same as like leaving without your wallet or keys. So you see how they've socially engineered this into place, and they've used it in a way wherein it targets people and makes it addictive. The technology is addictive. It is practical, don't get me wrong. It's a massively useful tool for a lot of different things, and it's handy to have. But they've used it in a negative fashion as well. It's a weaponized system. It's a dual-use technology. They use it to track and monitor and surveil everything you do. And not just you, everything around you. That's the other aspect of it. You don't even have to have a cell phone, and they have data points on you because chances are you ran into somebody else who was carrying a cell phone. Think about it.
And the optogenetics, that is quite interesting because anybody who has the sense to notice, I'm sure has noticed. I get that some people would feel it's a coincidence, but it really can't be a coincidence. I mean, I don't know how many times, I've talked to people about that they were thinking about something and they didn't talk about it, they weren't searching for it, they were just thinking about something, and then boom, one way or the other, call it the AI, the machine responded to that in a way that was absolutely direct and on point. And so, and like the way you're mentioning the blue light being able to map the brain, to see what's going on, it's remarkable. So I mean, it and that is happening, and that's kind of spooky because when you start getting into the, social credit score aspect of this, wow. I mean, you literally, I mean, thought crimes used to be something that like the Stasi had to figure out. It had to be something that they had to kind of do work to figure out who had thought crimes going on. But now, well, as soon as you look at your phone, the thought crime, you've achieved it. So, wow. I mean, it seems like you could get to this point of survival being based on absolute allegiance to this like puritanical cult of the AI because you literally couldn't even like how it's so funny how Apple says think different. Well, not for long.
Well, that's the entire basis of what Palantir is building right now and has been.
Yes.
Palantir, back in 2012, they unleashed a prototype program in New Orleans, and most people aren't aware of this. They worked with the police force of New Orleans, and they actually were using predictive crime algorithms in 2012 without the people's consent or knowledge in New Orleans. And what they would do is this algorithm would base the current trends of what's going on in the area and be able to tell whoever was the ones assigning patrol routes and stuff like this. At such and such a time at this location, it's about 90% probable that a crime will occur, so put your officers there. This is real, okay? This absolutely happened. It's a matter of historical record at this point. It was a covert program Palantir implemented in New Orleans in 2012 with the New Orleans police without the public's consent or knowledge, where they used these tools, which, by the way, now are in the hands of ICE and the Israeli military, among others. They have these predictive capacities. They could use these to predict crimes ahead of time. So the thought police and thought crime is not something in the realms of fiction anymore. It hasn't been for almost 15 years now. It's a reality. This was the prototype program. They launched it in New Orleans. And we have it now more developed and probably more fine-tuned than ever before. And ICE has access to this Palantir technology. So, how do you think they'd know where to find some of these quote unquote illegals that are here and where to send their units and stuff at such times? They have predictive capacities of this where they could predict down to the minute where somebody's likely to be with a 90-some percent probability of being accurate. An individual, this is streamed down to an individual. They could predict an individual's behavior patterns with 90 some percent accuracy down to the minute with these things. So they'll know exactly where to find somebody if they're using these Palantir tools at any given time. That's how invasive that this stuff has already become. And we're only scratching the surface. And this is the thing. That's why these companies like Palantir are in negotiations with these various government organizations and policing organizations around the world, and why they're being implemented. And this is also why, which one was it? Was it Anthropic decided that they wanted to drop their Department of Defense contracts because they weren't happy with what they were asking them to do with their AI technologies? Well, this is the kind of stuff, and it goes way beyond that. So if you have somebody like Anthropic that's not comfortable with this, which they're not exactly known for being ethical to begin with, shouldn't that tell you something? Like how bad is it?
Oh, that's something. Because ultimately there are, humans that are in these companies that become, morally challenged, and they're not necessarily on firm moral foundations in the first place, So, I also wonder if some of that is just fear of the future. And fear of being found out that you were a part of it. It could be an aspect of a lack of faith in the empire that they're building, and ultimately retribution coming for them one day, I think. That's the only thing that would actually change a narcissistic psychopath's course, So it seems like we are like the modern, Jedi warrior, let's say, sort of needs to have control over their mind, because thought crimes are going to become real time. And people will often say, be careful what you post on social media, be careful about commenting, be careful of even what you belong to, who you follow on Twitter, and all of that makes sense. But when you go beyond that realm to, if within you is ultimately a dissident to what is happening, then that really puts you in a difficult situation. So, yeah, how do we combat, let's say an AI, a system which is being built that has already known what we're thinking and knows what we think? I mean, where is your protection against that?
Well, that's the ultimate thing. I mean, I don't necessarily have the answer. What is your protection that? What you could do is just try to understand actually what they've built and what they're capable of and be aware of it. Awareness, I think, is the first step. And most people are blissfully unaware of any of this stuff. But when you realize and you actually look at the science of propaganda and all of that stuff that goes with it, social influence, social control, social engineering, there's real sciences involved with this, understanding how they work. You could kind of see the hallmarks of it. And a lot of this falls back to occult principles as well. Things like symbols and symbology, the language of symbology all around us, is massively important in the leveraging of archetypes against the human mind, because these archetypes affect your unconscious mind and you don't consciously realize it. But by affecting your unconscious mind, it has a subconscious effect on your later conscious behavior. And people are unattuned to that. But once you see how the trick is done, once you pull away the magic curtain and see the wizard behind the curtain pulling the levers, and you know how it's done, you're not as affected by it. So awareness, I think, is one of the keys to this, understanding how they do things and the way they manipulate people through the use of symbols and language and all of these other things is a massive part of being awake and aware of all of this going on. And here's the big thing, though. Once you are awake to this and aware of this, there's no turning back. You can't go to live back to living life like you did when you were blissfully ignorant. It doesn't work anymore. Even if you try, you can't do it. You can't unsee what you've now seen. That's the whole key. So once you're open to considering these things and you actually take a good long look at it, you see it everywhere and you can't unsee it anymore. So you don't enjoy your television programs and stuff the same way you used to. You don't enjoy your musical choices the way you once used to. You can't live in that blissfully ignorant state anymore. You're immune to the illusion to a certain degree. You see through it. Now, you might not understand exactly what the machinations are behind it, but a good analogy I like to use is my friend Crow777 uses it all the time. He says you could smell something burning in the kitchen. You might not know exactly what it is, but you smell something burning. You know it doesn't have the ring of truth to it. So you could use that intuition as a tool to know something's off, and don't buy what you're being handed in that regard. So I think that's a good first step toward it. Now, it's not an absolute solution to freeing your mind from the influences we've had. We've all been steered and
Oh.
indoctrinated many years. It's a lifetime of indoctrination we've all gone through. So it's a process of unlearning and relearning things. It's looking at the world through a new, fresh lens. A lot of that has to do with breaking free from this yoke or grasp of control. And even that they try to leverage too. Like, by and large, they've really taken over and infiltrated into the alternative news media.
Oh,
The
yeah.
alternative media. Like, that's just the new Fox News now, to use an analogy. That's all it is. I mean, it's hard, you're hard pressed to find any actual legitimate grassroots people anymore, especially the big names, because they're pushed and pumped to you via algorithms. So you get these same large programs thrown at you, depending on what your interests are. And by and large, the vast majority of the ones that are heavily trafficked, they're somehow controlled in some way, shape, or form, or they're pushed on you. Let's put it that way. The idea is that they're giving you or pushed at you. Like, I'm talking about programs like Joe Rogan and a
Oh,
lot of
yeah.
those other things that are kind of mainstream alternative media now. So you don't see that stuff and get any true value from it as you would from somebody who's actually done the real research. They've turned it into infotainment. Let's put it that way. That's the best way to look at it. So if you're tuning into some of these infotainment broadcasts, you're not getting the true depth of the detail of a lot of it. So
Oh, yeah.
it's a hard course to really parse it through, but certainly, they do offer bits of value too. There's good information to be found. It's just a matter of trying to discern the good bits from the things that aren't helpful. And we need to all do that to a certain degree. It's about critical thinking, and we all need to think for ourselves and do our own research on things. I always advise people, don't believe anything I'm telling you. Go look for yourself. You'll be shocked at what you find.
And the thing is, like you're saying, the infotainment, anything that we're looking at ultimately is somewhat superficial, and then you just start getting to the root of it. You start seeing what's really going on. And I do think that the alternative media, as we call it, has become the alternative mainstream media to a great extent. Because even though there is some great alternative media, there is some great, geopolitical analysis going on. Like, let's say just of the West, well, like America, the proxy war in Ukraine, you could say. You look at the Strait of Hormuz, look at those situations. I mean, there is amazing, geopolitical analysis of that by some real genius people. But still, they're like an agent in the Matrix. They're still playing by these rules. They're still seeing that superficial reality of as all there really is. They don't see like the 10 tribes, I guess you could say, managing it all. And so it's almost like I have found that I have to take what I know about the world's events as somewhat superficial and literally a form of entertainment. Because the truth isn't there anymore anyway, which is kind of disappointing. I wish it was, but I know it's not.
And that's the thing. Like, a lot of these people, they may be well-intentioned, but it's all just surface-level narrative stuff. It's still buying into the same old paradigm that is just inculcated as a control system. It all relates to the Hegelian dialectic. It's all, by and large, you're in one political spectrum or the other. There, you have these two options. You could be a leftist or a rightist. And this is what the filter is that most of these different alternative media programs that are popular go by. So all they do is they reinforce your already pre-existent belief systems in that way, and they steer the political machinations in that direction by just offering you this surface level mainstream narrative of things. And oftentimes the nuance underneath all of that goes way deeper, and most people miss that. They don't know what really goes on behind the scenes. They're all focused on this surface level stuff. And a lot of that is, of course, because these people want to be taken seriously or be considered serious journalists. So they don't go beyond the follow the money type of mentality with a lot of this. They just focus on that surface level stuff. And what that does is that traps people's minds in that paradigm all the further. And then you have this left wing, right wing divide that they always use as a control mechanism to steer people in one direction or the other. That's what it is. It's the same thing that they've always done. They control both sides of the argument and keep people arguing back and forth. Either you pick this camp or that camp. There's no free thought. You belong to this group or you belong to that group. It's groupthink. It's not about the individual ability to think critically and to formulate your own opinions. They want you to pick a preconceived opinion
Yes.
about any given topic. And you either fall in one camp or the other with that. You're not allowed to think about any nuance or understanding of it in a more critical type sense. So this is the mechanism they use, and that's what most of these new alternative media popular programs focus on, that surface level narrative, and just keep people swinging back and forth between these different ideologies. And
Yeah.
all it is spinning your wheels. It's not accomplishing anything good. It's just
That makes
reinforcing
sense.
people's already pre-existent beliefs. So, thus the term infotainment.
Infotainment. Yeah. And so the Jedi modern, like the Jedi mind trick for the awake human really seems like maybe it's to be outside of that, paradigm, to be on no end of a pendulum. So when like maybe Obi-Wan kind of was teaching us in Star Wars, where we can call him, like, when the AI trooper looks at you and asks you a question, you can just say, "I'm not who you're looking for," and you keep going because your awareness, your state doesn't match anything that the AI can read. You just sort of become invisible.
Exactly. And this is kind of the thing that they depend upon. They want people to fall into this trap of pick a side, pick a position. You're given two positions to choose from, pick one. It all has to do with the human nature of people to have this tribal mentality. It's all about tribalism. You want to belong. You want to feel like you belong. Well, that's something we need to get past because we're all individuals. And it's okay if I don't agree with you on everything. We could agree to disagree and still have a cordial relationship. And that's something in modern society that's really been largely done away with and weaponized against the people. If you disagree with me, you're my enemy. And that's the mentality people have these days. We can't disagree on a topic, or you're a shill. I can't stand that. You have people out there shill calling all the time. You're a shill because you don't believe the same exact thing I believe. And I'll reject anything you say because it doesn't align with my preconceived notion of things. So I won't even consider it. We need to stop the closed-mindedness. We need to keep an open mind, but not so open that our brain falls out. It's a
Yeah.
very delicate balance. But at any rate, we could have a cordial conversation with somebody and disagree on some of the fine points of stuff and disagree on some overall viewpoints on things, but that doesn't make them our enemy. Just because we have differing views, the world would be very boring if everybody thought the same things all the time, right? So
Yeah.
we have that individualized nature within us. That's the important thing to understand. So you can have some nuance of opinion on things. You don't need to fall into a particular camp. You don't need a label. And that's what they're all about. They're applying a label to you because that gives them some type of a generalized perception of who you are and what things you will react to. That's why they label us in that way. That's why they collect all these data points on us to see how can they manipulate us. What are the certain topics that kind of trigger us, and what would be that trigger? And the social media algorithms are fine-tuned to this stuff at this point, because you'll find by and large, oftentimes, on an individual's timeline or something in their social media feed, not only will they find things that reinforce their already pre-existent belief systems, you'll also find stuff that provoke them to action just by their words of things they disagree with.
Yeah.
All designed that way on purpose. Because you see, once again, it's that vampirizing your social energy. Understand? They could apply it in a negative or a positive way, and they do both. They use both for certain things. So when they tell you don't feed the trolls, don't feed the trolls. All that's doing is sucking your energy and your time away from you and keeping you firmly entrenched in an already pre-existent opinion that you have about a certain people group or a certain topic and that kind of thing. That's designed. That's one of the ways they socially engineer the masses. It's how they control society at large. They get you to react to this stuff without thinking critically about it first. That's part of the process of how they control people on such an expert level. They want you reactionary. They don't want you to think. They don't want you to have a nuanced perspective. They don't want you to reason through things. They just want you to react. It's the whole limbic system idea of the brain, the fight or flight response. Just react. They want you reactive. They need a reactive public. That's why the Hegelian dialectic works so well. It could be broken down problem, reaction, solution. So they will present you with some problem and you'll have your knee-jerk reaction to it. And in response to that, they will give you their ready-made solution to that problem, which invariably takes away more of your rights and your money every single time. And they'll prescribe that to you. So that's how it all works and operates. So quit feeding your energy into these things in that way. That's one solution we have to this, because then they don't know how to read you. And then you could be the anomaly to the algorithm.
And that'd be a great t-shirt. Be the anomaly to the algorithm. That would be, well, I've had you for a while and, really, really appreciate the time talking about this. And we went in a lot of different directions, but that's just kind of what it takes because the topic, hey, what are these AI data centers about? Well, they're the center of a lot, And so anything in closing that you think maybe we missed that we should touch on?
Oh, there's so many different. We're just scratching the surface with a lot of it. It's all about control at the end of the day. It's controlling human beings at an individualized level to the point where they could control you 24/7 from cradle to grave. That's what they're looking for with the building of these data centers and all the things surrounding it. And it all has to do with the transhumanist singularity, and we didn't even touch on any of that stuff. But that's a whole separate show altogether, and maybe we'll have
Transhuman
to do that.
singularity. I can schedule that one for the future. Transhuman singularity, because that's definitely going to come into play. Well, yeah, Wayne McCrory, thank you so much for your time today. It's the alchemicalrevolution.com is where you can begin to find all of Wayne's material. And yeah, so everybody, keep on being free. Definitely be the be what the be the anomaly that the AI control structure can't figure out because. Those data centers haven't clicked on yet. They're being built, but they're mostly just sitting there idle. They're getting the networks working, they're getting the connectivity working, they're developing the software, they're developing the systems. But you know what? You're gonna know when they kick on. For one thing, like your lights are gonna dim and your water's gonna stop running. But along with that, you're gonna notice that reality changes on a lot of levels, physical, spiritual, intellectual, it's going to change. So let's try to get ready for that so we can beat them to the punch. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Wayne.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
All right. Let me hit the end button and